The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and it's Jeffy for Glenn one more time. 888-727-BECK. There's quite a bit going on. A lot to tell you about and to talk about today. The battle between Trump. It's not much of a battle anymore between President Trump and Steve Bannon.
No, it is not.
That war is pretty much over. And Bannon is, he's been destroyed, it seems. Not only has he been slapped down by the president and the president's family, he's also on the brink of being booted out of Breitbart, losing this radio show, I guess, that he does. On Sirius XM.
The Patriot Channel. I think that deal was it was Breitbart's kind of Breitbart.
I think so. So he would, right. If he goes from Breitbart, I believe he'd lose that.
Right.
And then all the billionaire backers that he had.
Bye-bye.
Everybody's bailing out on him. The Mercer family has already bailed on him. And there are several others who are saying, yeah, he doesn't support the president. I can't support him.
Right.
Everybody's distancing themselves from him.
There's anybody that has anything to do with Junior or Donald himself and is involved in anything to do with this administration. They're like,
see ya.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
We want nothing to do with you.
And he's got all these plans of getting people he likes in office and getting backers for that. And nobody wants to have anything to do with him now.
No way.
It's kind of breathtaking.
It sure is. And it happened fast. I mean, yes. It was just like, it wasn't even,
yes.
It was like, you said what against Donald? I mean, that was, and how fast it was. Think about that. The same day that the story broke, that night he's on the radio saying, oh no, I mean, I really like Donald Trump and he's really a nice guy.
And obviously that's why. That's why. We now know why. Okay. Why did you say all these things about him in the book? And now you're saying what a great man he is on the air. Well, he's trying to salvage.
You aren't lying.
He's in he's in full self-preservation mode now. That's why he said what he said Wednesday night on his radio show.
Absolutely.
For his part, Michael Wolff, whose book it is standing by every word in it. He said this morning he stands behind, quote, absolutely everything, unquote, in his provocative new book, which the White House, of course, has panned as trash and riddled with falsehoods. One of the things we have to count on is that Donald Trump will attack. That's what he says he knows, and so he's going into defensive mode as well. Now, the book publisher was going to release this later this month. They released it today. So they went into operation here to get this thing out there because everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, let's get it out.
There's going to be a lot of interest in it.
Let's get it out. Book sales are not that good lately anyway.
Right.
So if we've got some juice to try to sell a few extra copies, let's get it out.
Let's use it.
Yeah.
In the book is page after page of embarrassing descriptions of the West Wing as disorganized and backbiting. And the president as ignorant, inept, and maybe worst of all, possessing declining mental faculties.
Wow.
That's what he's going to allege in this book, apparently. Wow. Some, like former Deputy Chief of Staff Katie Walsh, have claimed they didn't make the statements attributed to them in the book, while others, like former strategist Steve Bannon, have not disputed their remarks.
Right.
Wow.
And that's what, we heard in the interview from the SE Cup interview yesterday, right? It might not all be 100% true, but the big picture is.
That was Sam Nunberg, who apparently was interviewed for the book as well. So they got it out like today, and it'll be interesting to see if it's as incendiary as it sounds, because that sounds pretty damning.
It sure does.
Wolf himself said demands from the president's lawyers that the book not be published fueled interest in the book, and he asked Today Show host Savannah Guthrie, where do I send the box of chocolates? Because of all the publicity he's getting.
I know.
It's really good for him.
It sure is. And
it might be a pack of lies, but he's going to sell a lot of lies if that's the case.
And there's going to be a lot of people that believe every lie in there.
No question. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders told reporters yesterday that the book was complete fantasy and just full of tabloid gossip, noting that Wolf had misreported the age of White House Communications Director Hope Hicks and suggested that such a simple mistake was indicative of sloppy work. Possibly.
Okay.
Trump himself has said the book is full of lies. And I don't know if, I doubt he's read it, but I think he wants to get that out there, that there's nothing true in it.
Oh, absolutely. And not
especially really. Especially if this is as damning as it sounds.
Which is why, you know, he put the hammer down on the donors and the big money people, that if you're going to be on board with this administration, you're going to be on board with kicking him off the boat.
Right.
And they all said, okay.
Wolf says, I've written millions upon millions of words. I don't think there has ever been one correction. Wow. That's a bold statement. The book paints a picture of President Trump as deteriorating in his mental state, repeating himself on an ever-shortening cycle and struggling to remember old friends. I hope that's not true.
Me too.
Wolf said 100% of the people around the president that he spoke to questioned his intelligence and mental fitness for the job. The one description that everyone gave, everyone has in common, they all say he's like a child. Well, we've kind of made that point as well. I mean, he's got there's a definite childlike quality when you have to retaliate against every word that is ever said against you.
Right. But that's been.
But that has nothing to do with his mental capacity.
Right.
And what they mean by that is he has a need for immediate gratification. It's all about him. They say he's a moron and idiot. Actually, there's a competition to sort of get to the bottom line of who this man is. Let's remember, this man does not read, does not listen, so he's like a pinball just shooting off the sides. Wow. Wow.
Wow is right.
So when this comes out and you see the enormity of it, it sounds like it's worse than I was anticipating. That's
horrible.
That's really bad. Yeah, that's really bad. And if he's got people in the White House saying these things, it's going to be a firestorm next week.
You aren't kidding. And obviously, the people who already dislike him greatly are going to hold this up like
as
the Bible.
Proof, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. There's no doubt about
that. I don't know how you're going to fight that.
Also, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to talk to meteorologist Joe Bastardi, because it's really cold almost throughout the entire country. It's starting to warm up a little bit here in Dallas, but throughout the nation, another cold snap in the Northeast, I guess, after a big storm.
Yeah.
And Gore tweeted that the brutal winter weather is brought about by global warming. That are causing this cold. It is so hot that it actually circled completely around back to cold again. It's not the description he's using.
We joke about that.
But that's what
that's exactly what they do.
Saying.
That's exactly what they do every time. It's amazing.
It is unbelievable when it gets hot, that's global warming. And when it gets cold, that's global warming. When it's windy, global warming. When it's not windy, global warming. When it snows, it's global warming. When it doesn't snow, global warming. Absolutely every scenario is covered under that simple term.
Because day-to-day is weather. Right?
Yes.
The big picture is climate change.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Right.
I don't know why you're...
right, yes. It's.
I know Bastardi's going to come on and probably, probably say that's not true. Okay.
Well, of course, he's a climate denier. It's like the flat earth people. Now, that demeans them a little bit, yes. But they're so stupid. They don't know they're being demeaned. What a great outcome for the global warmest, that no matter what happens as far as the weather, that's proof of what they're saying.
You always have an out, and they turn it around every time. It really is amazing. It really is.
It's the most unbelievable thing I think I've ever seen. A few years ago, just a couple of years ago, in fact, in this article where Bastardi has a bunch of quotes, it had headlines like snowfalls are now just a thing of the past. Children just aren't going to know what snow is. That's what scientists were saying in the year 2000. Here's what Democrats were saying just a few years ago, like 2000, maybe a decade ago.
We need a climate change strategy.
Robert Byrd.
We need a climate change strategy badly.
Right.
Look at the kind of winter we've had.
Yeah. Look at the winter.
Look at the kind of winter we've had here in Washington.
No snow.
One snow.
Oh, one. I'm sorry.
3 inches. Look at the drought.
Look at it.
That has come upon this area of the country during the winter season. Mm-hmm. What can we expect for the spring and summer season?
I don't know.
What's going to happen to our crops?
We're going to burn to a crisp.
Our livestock.
Mm-hmm.
Our economy. This is serious.
It is.
I've lived a long time.
Uh-huh.
84 years.
Sure.
Something's going on out there.
Think about it.
I don't need a scientist to tell me that.
No, he doesn't.
The difference in the winters.
Mm-hmm.
The differences in the summers.
So back then, they're saying the lack of snow was global warming. Now they're saying the preponderance of snow is global warming.
And flooding.
Flooding as well.
No droughts.
But so are droughts.
Right.
I mean, so flooding, and we remember this from the summer. That was all global warming related.
Yes, it was.
And the droughts, when those are happening, and when they happen in California, that was global warming.
Yes, it is.
I mean, if you can point to every eventuality that happens and say, yep, that proves my point. Well, that's pretty sweet.
You are good for you.
Sweet.
Good for you.
So we'll get Joel Bastardi on to talk about this coming up in just a few minutes on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Some more good news. Apparently the U.S., we added 148,000 jobs in December. Unemployment's at 4.1%. I mean, there comes a time when everybody who wants a job has a job, and I think we're just about reaching that level, statistically speaking, because you can't get to zero. But when we're in the upper threes and low fours, usually that's considered full employment.
Hmm.
But a bunch of companies are now saying that because of the tax breaks that are coming their way, they're going to start hiring more people. Well, yeah, that's what happens.
That's what we're supposed to happen, right?
Exactly. That is what happens when you have tax breaks, especially for businesses. When you go from a rate of 35 or 38%, whatever it was, to 20 or 20, I think they wound up at 23 or 25.
That's a lot of money.
It makes a huge difference.
Really?
And now you can invest in your business and you can hire more people and you can give bonuses and you can give raises and all those things then just naturally happen. So the rate is now 21%.
And there's going to be a few more people, you know, looking for work. Because, you know, you have 100 Sears and Kmart stores closing up, you know, again.
Really?
Yeah. And Macy's announced that they were going to cut like 5,000 jobs and close 7 more stores. I mean, some of the brick and mortar stores are doomed.
Well, especially Sears and Kmart. They've been going downhill for a long time.
I know. It's difficult.
There's not a single Kmart open anymore in Texas. They went out of business completely here. So when I and somewhere else, and I see a Kmart.
It's kind of shocking,
open,
isn't
like,
it?
Whoa, there's that's
I know.
Right. Kmart still exists.
I know.
But it's they're closing another 100?
Yeah, more than 100 Sears and Kmart stores will close in March and April. Yep.
That's too bad.
That is too bad. And Macy's is cutting 5,000 jobs, 7 new store closures.
Wow.
Tough.
Wow.
And that's after, you know, they claimed a big holiday surge.
Yeah.
You know, we were up like over 4% from last year of the holidays, and it's been strong all year.
Yeah.
Sales-wise, but those brick-and-mortar stores.
A lot of that's internet.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, that was really up. The percentage of internet sales was really up this year, although it was still, you know, I don't think we've broken 20% on internet. Have we? I have to go back. I don't know that we have. I mean, it's still big for the internet sales, but I don't know that.
Yeah, but it's enough to really hurt the.
Yeah. Oh, these brick and mortar stores are doomed.
It's hurting
it's the experience
badly.
Too. You know, you think about going to the store. You know, like if I wanted, like for example, I want to buy a book, and I want to go to the bookstore. There's maybe one bookstore that I know. Well, no, I take that back. There's two bookstores that I know of that I could go to within a reasonable amount of time and purchase books in where we live. Okay, but like I just purchased a book online in the break,
and it takes 5 seconds to do it.
I'm done.
Yeah. You've got the book. You don't have to wait. You don't have to drive.
If I order the ebook, I've already have it. Mm-hmm. And if I order the hard copy book, Amazon pretty much drops it on my roof by now.
You can it within an hour,
I mean, for sure 2 days. I mean, for sure 2 days.
But there's a lot of things they can deliver today.
Absolutely, that's what I mean. There's, yeah. I mean,
if you want to pay for it,
right. But if you're a today customer and pay the extra money, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I could order the book and click buy, and you know, I walk outside and get hit in the head with the book from Amazon.
You just can't beat that convenience.
I know,
it's fantastic.
I know.
Also, another benefit of the tax breaks, it put in the tax bill, was drilling in Anwar.
That's good, right? I mean, that's
yes,
what we wanted.
That's good, and that's the kind of stuff the Democrats pull all the time with stuff we don't want in
right.
bills. And so they put it in the tax bill that we could drill in the Arctic now.
And good. And, you know, look, that was the kind of the thing where, you know, I'm sure that the previous administration will say, well, we opened up, we told you that we opened up all this new area for drilling.
And then they made it impossible to get
right.
permits.
They said, yeah, we opened up. I mean, they pretty much said you can drill anywhere you want and just fill out the paperwork. Only the paperwork is going to take you about 18 years to get through before you can drill anything.
That's what's one of the things that's great about this administration is they're not playing that game. This was kind of a surprise that they put it in the tax bill, and it was signed by President Trump, but it opens up Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, or ANWR, to drilling for oil, gas, and other energy development. Now, the environmentalists are all up in arms over this. It's just wasteland. This isn't beautiful, you know, rolling hills and mountain peaks.
Wow.
This is wilderness.
Wow. Why do you hate the environment?
I don't. And this doesn't do anything to the environment, essentially. Nobody's there to see it anyway. Who cares? Anybody living at ANWR? No. No, they're not.
Well, what about the magnificent moose that are there?
Yeah.
What about the breeding habits of the moose?
Well, they'll, you know, just have to date casually. Maybe they won't breed. I don't know.
What about the gray and black spotted owl?
What about them? That's my question. What about them?
I mean, they're going to have to move.
Oh, no. Many beings have to move at some point in their life. You know, there's not even moose there. You know, it's a place where there's nothingness. But they try to make it sound as though you're in the beauty of Alaska and you're blighting the area where people go and visit to take in the splendor of nature.
Right.
And that's just not true.
Right.
It's just not true. So it's interesting. This is the way they got Lisa Murkowski to sign off on the tax bill. She wanted drilling in ANWR.
Okay.
Okay. And so it's kind of a pleasant surprise for everybody who's been pushing for drilling in ANWR, because we've got so much gas and oil there that is just laying there for no apparent reason.
Let's go get it. Absolutely.
Let's completely end our dependency on anybody else for energy reserves.
Amen to that.
888-727 Beck, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to talk to Joe Bastardi. We're going to do this next about this global warming nonsense.
He's always fun.
Everything fits into their little viewpoint of the world. We'll talk to him next.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn. Be back Monday morning. 888-727 Beck. It's like another cold weekend for much of the country. They just got a huge storm and now cold front coming in behind that. So it's going to be very pleasant. And this is all, of course, due to global warming.
Thank you.
Once again, it's gotten so hot that it's spun clear around to cold or something.
I think that's exactly it.
Michael Mann. Gore just linked to one of his organization's articles on the brutal winter weather, and it was written by Michael Mann. The Climate Reality Project, a perfect storm, extreme winter weather, bitter cold, and climate change. It's just, it's phenomenal to me that because just a few years ago they were saying we weren't going to have snow and cold anymore. Winters were going to be completely different. You're going to have to remind your children what snow was. So that meant global warming, and now the opposite means global warming. We decided to get meteorologist Joe Bastardi on to talk about this. Joe, welcome to the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy.
It is always an extreme pleasure to talk to you, gentlemen.
Pleasure's ours. You know, you're quoted pretty prominently, featured in the, in this article, and you're talking about the insanity of this, that it's virtually witchcraft at this point.
let me just say something, okay? Well, we set this up. It's amazing. There's sometimes when the atmosphere gets into a flow very similar to previous years, all right? Mm-hmm. So we set up the cold early start. I you know, gave it to my clients first and then our subscribers on premium at weatherbell.com if you want to go there. And then I showed it to the public. I said, here's what you are to expect based on similar patterns in the past, that we would get off to a big, fast start to the winter. In fact, on November 30th, I wrote an article in the Patriot Post saying that the cold that was coming could put the skids on the economic recovery that we were in. And I'm not saying that it's directly attributed to it, but I noticed job creation was a lot less in December, and maybe the amount of cold, I'm not saying it's directly linked. These guys are going to have to figure it out. But remember how cold it got in Texas and snowed December 7th through 15th, and then coming now.
Yeah.
But the point is, we were forecasting this before. Now, here's what you have to believe. I want everybody to just calm down, and this is what you got to believe.
Mm-hmm.
That the cold that is coming now that was seen and predicted due to the physical forcing of the atmosphere similar to other years, that cold that is here now is climate change. But because it's not quite as cold as some of the outbreaks like 1983-84 we compared it to, that's also climate change. So here's what happened.
Right.
It got cold. It got very cold because of climate change, but not quite as cold as it would have gotten if we weren't having climate. This is
it's preposterous.
This is I can't even believe it. And you know what gets me, guys? There's certain large-scale physical forcing that's going on right now. It's going to lead to a mammoth thaw, all right? You see it starting in the Indian Ocean, all right? And what goes on, big thunderstorms go off there. It's a sign that the pattern is going to change. It's going to get very mild across the United States. You mark my words, if we see some record-breaking highs like we did in 1967 after the brutally cold start in January 67, we had record-breaking highs, a two-week thaw. They will see, this is climate change, and yet none of them are even looking at what I'm looking at now. It was the same thing with Harvey. When everybody was screaming in, you know, about the eclipse on August 21st, I'm sitting there warning my clients and then putting it out on Twitter that this is a disaster coming for Texas. Harvey wasn't even upgraded to a depression at that time. And the very, very feature that captured Harvey was an anomalous cold trough that dug into Texas in response to patterns that had been setting up. So here's what I do. I do what my dad taught me. My dad's a meteorologist, graduated out of A&M in 65. And he said, if you go back and look at what happened before and understand what happened before, it's like no different than American history or history of the world or anything like that. You do it in the weather. You will have an advantage on looking going forward. And what I think is going on now, and I call it climate ambulance chasing, is a perfect storm. It's a perfect storm, all right, of Alinsky tactics and Orwellian type ideas about erase the past and those that want to remind you of the past, and you isolate, demonize, and destroy them. And it's political. It's agenda driven.
Absolutely.
It's not, if it was science driven, look, I have a lot of good friends on the other side of the argument. Sit down, we have a couple glasses of wine or whatever, and that's that. It's a 10-minute talk. Okay, you disagree, I disagree. Let's go watch it, and that's that. Most of those guys are meteorologists. A lot of them don't agree with me. But on the other side, we'll say, okay, well, we'll see how it turns out, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other side, that when you've got zealots that are involved, and think about this. Every day, folks, I have to fight the weather. So every day I'm confronted and I get beat. Okay, there are times I get beat and I remember my losses. But I've learned that when you're dealing with nature, an infinite, relentless opponent, the majesty of nature, the best you can get is a tie. That you forecast what's going to happen, it happens, and many times it doesn't. So you get up and fight every day. No one's ever going to take the weather away from me. What happens if 30 years of your life and everything that you are associated with that is your lifeline, what happens if that's proven wrong? It has to be very, very difficult for someone on that side of the issue that has just staked his claim to that.
Yes.
To actually look at it objectively. And in addition, it is, they do consider it an attack on them personally.
They sure do.
Because after all, they have personalized the entire issue. So it's a very difficult playing field. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where I really think that, you know, I have this so what attitude. If it is warming, okay, whatever the cause, I have to deal with it and make the forecast from it. Mm-hmm. I personally believe it's because of the cyclical nature of the oceans, pump more water vapor into the air. Excess water vapor in the Arctic regions affects their temperature much, much more than it does in other places. That's why we have these ratios, what we call mixing ratio charts, where you look at temperature and water vapor and the amount of water vapor contained in at certain temperatures in the air. Now, we don't have mixing ratio charts for CO2 and temperature because there's no relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it that you're creating CO2 as the climate control knob when there's no visible relationship that a meteorologist or anybody can use as far as, well, what if we inject this much CO2 into the system? What will the temperature do? Won't do anything. It's not detectable. That's why when you sit in a, do you realize that when you're sitting in a closed arena for 2 hours, the amount of carbon dioxide in there goes up to 10,000 parts per million? They understand that what's going on while you're in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if people aren't falling over. You know why? Because you exhale 100 times more carbon dioxide than you inhale. And that's the other interesting thing. Why would I believe strongly in our Heavenly Father, okay? I have to ask myself this question. For some of the people on the other side of the issue that have the same feelings of me as that, why would animals be created to exhale 100 times more CO2 than they inhale, okay? What, isn't that just a suicide pact, okay, whoever started all this? The reason is because plants love the stuff, and that's why the Earth is greener than it's ever been in the satellite era, and we are growing food, and you see the increased CO2 in the atmosphere is actually helping out with food production. So there's a lot of moving parts here, but it simply comes down to you've got to ask yourself, why would you believe someone that 3 weeks before didn't tell us this was coming, waits till it comes and then tells you after, as opposed to people who are out in front of it?
Yeah, and everything that happens, they predicted. Even though years ago they were predicting the opposite, they don't mention that at all.
Of course not. Well, it gets down to Orwellian ideas of a race to pass. But look, you guys ever see the movie Bananas with Woody Allen?
No,
there's a fantastic scene in there where they're they're flying troops into this banana republic that the movie is based on, and there's a bunch of troops on one side, a bunch of troops on the other side, and they're all American troops. They say, "Whose side are you fighting for?" And one guy goes, "Well, we're on the rebel side." He goes, "Well, we're on the other side." And someone says, "The State Department is taking no chances. We're covering both sides." It's the same thing that these guys do. It's no matter what happens.
They're right.
They have the right answer. If it snows cheese in Dallas in a week, if there's a cheese storm, there it is. It's climate change.
That's what we said was going to happen.
It's on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. There's just no doubt about it. And in an Inconvenient Truth, the original version, Al Gore said there were more frequent and more intense hurricanes on the way, followed by 12 years of less frequent and less intense storms. We didn't have a major hurricane during that time for something like 10 or 12 years.
And yeah, you know what, though? Look, I know this sounds pompous. If you follow me on Weather Bell or if you follow me on Twitter, You saw these explanations before the fact. It's why I predicted right. this year that we were going to end the major drought because we were in a pattern similar to when it happened before. And part of, listen, part of this is because the reason I have this theory that the distortion of where it's getting warm, it's getting warmer in the Arctic areas. It's getting warmer basically in places where people don't live. Okay.
Yeah.
When you warm the, and when we say warm in the Arctic, it's during their winter. If you look at their summer, the summers aren't increasing. It's the winters that are increasing because more water vapor in the air means they have more cloud cover. So it warms 4 or 5 degrees Celsius. That gets in core. So instead of being unbelievably cold, it's unbelievably cold. I mean, it's crazy cold up there no matter what. So what happens is this, though. That decreases something, everybody sit down, called zonal potential energy. What is zonal potential energy? It's what drives the extremities of the atmosphere, the difference between the cold in the north and the warm in the south. If you lessen that gradient, inherently there will be less extremes. And I think that this also has an effect on the global wind oscillation and the mean sea level pressures in the atmosphere, especially over land and during the summertime, which is distorting the tropics and actually leading to a downturn in the ACE index. And that's what you've been seeing, accumulated cyclonic energy globally. While we had this big season here, guys, guess what? It was the bottom five in the Western Pacific. And in fact, what I did was I went back and linked 1933, 1950, 1995, 2005, 2010, all those years with similar tropical seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And bang, it gave you the December forecast because there was a hemispheric pattern set up similar in the summertime that would naturally evolve that way into the winter. But here's the thing to take away. Look what I'm looking at. Understand, I'm going back and looking at the past, not erasing the past, and it is aiding me in doing what I'm doing. So in a way, what I think every climatologist out there should be made to forecast the weather in the longer range, 3 to 6 weeks. I want you to do that for a year. Just practice on your own, and you will understand the inherent chaos in the system that will make you at least stop and think, well, maybe there is something different than what I'm pushing.
I love it. Weatherbell.com, is that where people go to hear more, learn more?
Yeah, I think our site. Now, not everybody at Weatherbell.com is like, I mean, you know, we have a free and open company, and we get into discussions the last 5 minutes, and we go go do the weather. That's what we do. But I'm also at Big Joe Bastardi at Twitter. I'm supposed to, every time I'm on the air, mention that or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe get some followers. So, hey, listen, I appreciate guys having me on. I love coming on.
Yeah, we love to have you. So, appreciate it.
Well, anytime you want, I'm back. And hey, remember something. No matter what the weather, enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
See, it just ends nicely.
It ends nicely.
Just ends nicely.
Beautiful.
Joe Bastardi, 888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Always fun to talk to Joe Bastardi. You know, he has a way of getting to the bottom of how illogical
he sure does
the whole global warming phenomenon. The man caused global warming. I don't think there's many people that actually deny that the Earth warmed a little bit. Although there has been a 17-year pause, but there was warming, and then it kind of stayed the same. Might be warming a little bit more now. That happens during the natural cycles of the Earth, and the Al Gores of the world are trying to convince us that it doesn't happen, or it's never happened before, that this is unprecedented, that we've never had fires before, that we've never had droughts before, we've never had floods, we've hurricanes, snow, the lack of snow. It's amazing. I don't know how anybody can't see through the absolute hysteria they're creating that it shouldn't exist.
And it's amazing how many people can't. I mean, I really don't understand how you look at something like that and you don't say...
And the thing is, for Al Gore, now some of these meteorologists might just be doing this because, as Joe said, they see some kind of different pattern. They've been convinced somehow. There's a lot of people who are in this for the money. And Al Gore is one of them. Al Gore's in it for the money. Look at how much he has made off of the global warming phenomenon. The guy's made a career out of it.
Yes. Hey, well, he's made...
And hundreds of millions of dollars.
Hundreds of million dollars. And he's also kind of put his reputation on the line for that. You know, The Al Gore former senator.
And all of them have.
Vice president, should have been president. Now he's got his he's on the mark with this global warming stuff.
Yeah, he can't be wrong now.
Right.
Certainly can't admit that you're wrong now.
No way.
888-727-BECK. More of the Glenn Beck program coming up with Pat Gray and Jeffy.
Glenn Beck. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. He's back Monday morning, bright and early. And you can listen for my show immediately following this on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. It's Pat Gray Unleashed.
Every day, though? I mean,
every day,
show,
Monday
I
through
mean,
Friday, including today. When we're going to do that really fun, we're going to replay the greatest clips of 2017 and beyond. So we've got that show for you today. It's going to be, you're going to hear things like,
you pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants
for Mel Roker, which is one of my favorites.
It's so funny. Cause we just happened to look up on the screen and, Al Roker was on the screen eating something,
eating chicken. And we were trying to remind him remotely, Al, wait, you remember that, you know,
pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
Be careful what you're eating there.
No doubt. Take it easy. Cause now you're sitting with Hoda and, mm-hmm. Could be a problem.
And they were just chowing down on something that their chef had just made. And so we were very concerned that...
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants. Yeah.
And we didn't want that to happen again because that's not good.
Why would you ever...
Man.
For real. For real.
Why would you ever say that? Admit it? I don't know.
For real.
I don't know.
I mean, joking around, you're on a show, you're doing something, but for real.
I can't.
In a serious interview.
For the life of me, I can't figure it out.
I don't understand.
Another interesting phenomenon is the admission from all of the guys who have committed sexual harassment. Not all of them, but many of them, especially in the high-profile cases, simply admit to having done what they're accused of doing. Now, if you're, and that's good, so we can get the problem solved. But if you're a big enough dirtbag to sexually harass women or assault them, How are you not a big enough dirtbag to say, I don't know what she's talking about. I've never did that.
Well,
it's an interesting situation going on right now.
It is. And I think that's in the beginning, right? Some of them tried, or at least, you know, earlier in the beginning, you know, 3 months ago, mm-hmm. when it first started, that people were trying to say, well, you know, some of it, yes.
Well,
most of
a
it,
few
no.
of them have hedged a little bit by saying, well, my memory's a little bit different.
Right.
Like Al Franken.
Right.
But many of them have just said, yeah, I was a dirtbag and I'm trying to change that now.
Because I think there's the feeling that if you deny.
You're supportive of women now, I guess.
Right. And if you deny,
if you admit it,
you're going to get hammered
yeah.
for every little, for
Could
everything.
Be. But man, so, if I didn't do it, I'm not saying I did it just for the chance not to be hammered. Are you? If you've been accused of sexual harassment, you know you're innocent. I'd go to the grave. By proclaiming my innocence on that. You can say whatever you want. If I didn't do it, and I haven't, I'm not going to admit to it.
What is it you're actually accusing me of, though? Because
I'm not even going to go down that road, because that'll take us not just the rest of the show, the rest of the year of shows. So we don't want to travel that road.
Okay, all right, because I want to be clear.
But actor Ben Vereen is the latest. He has been accused of sexual assault at some community theater in Florida in 2015.
Ben Vereen.
He's doing the musical Hair.
Yeah, I mean, he's Mr. Singer Dancer Superstar.
Yes.
What is he? He's got to be like 70 now anyway, right?
69 years old.
Yep, there you go.
In a sickening twist, several young actresses cast in the show claimed the Broadway legend sexually abused them and nearly broke them. They say that he forced unwanted kisses, hugged them aggressively, stripped naked during an acting exercise, made degrading comments about their weight, sexual appeal, personal lives. And then there were some other things that where he pushed himself up against them. And
not quite sure I understand that phenomenon.
Well, I mean, if you're dancing and something happens, it might be accidental, right?
Possible.
I don't know. So I don't know. But he this was I guess this was a couple of years ago, so he was 69. So he must be 71 now. But in a lengthy statement from the Daily News, Vereen didn't deny it. He said, I would like to apologize directly to the female cast members of the musical Hair for my inappropriate conduct when I directed the production in 2015. To me, that's interesting. Obviously, you're guilty. Otherwise, you're defending yourself. And if you, again, if you're that big a douchebag to do that in the first place, I don't understand why you just don't lie about it. I mean, I'm glad they don't, but it's strange. Strange.
It really is. And he is 71 now. So, I mean,
yeah,
he's still, I mean, at 69, good for you.
He doesn't look 71. He doesn't. Yeah, that is bad.
That's bad.
And he doesn't look 71.
No, he doesn't. But
well preserved.
You know, I guess you could, you know, you can't hug anyone.
No, no.
You can't kiss anyone.
Not in this day and age. You certainly can't kiss them on the lips. And I don't even know that you get away with that cheek thing with when you're greeting people. I wouldn't even do that. Of course, I didn't before.
You didn't like that.
But for those who do that,
yeah,
I'd stop if I were you, because you just don't know anymore what's going to be considered sexual assault.
It's hard to stop, though, but.
You might not want to be, you know, putting that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was my mic on?
Yeah. Yeah.
That these was guys are such, I don't, it's amazing to me.
It's incredible.
All these people that are actually, and I say all these people because there's still plenty of people that are not dirtbags and are doing the right thing around other people that's important.
Absolutely.
That are treating other human beings like human beings should be treated.
Yes.
Clearly.
Yes.
But it's amazing to me the number of named people that you know that behind the closed curtains are such dirtbags.
It is. It's incredible. It seems like the perception is right now that every man is a dirtbag.
Yeah.
And it's not the case, but wow, there's a lot of them. There's an awful lot of dirtbags who just don't care how they've acted and until now, apparently, when they're being called on it.
Well, yeah. It's going to cost them money and cost them their careers.
Right. So the Golden Globes is happening on Sunday night.
I know.
And
are you going to wear black?
I am, just in solidarity.
Okay, good.
With the women who are wearing black.
I went out and bought a special brand new black dress.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. They're, you know, rolling out the red carpet, the champagne, the statuettes will be all handed over. But are the women going to be protesting? Yeah. Well, I think the black dress thing is just the half of it. Can you imagine the speeches afterwards?
It's going to be agonizing.
Agonizing.
It's going to be truly agonizing.
My guess is, too, they will turn this around to the White House. It won't be about Hollywood. They're going to make it about Trump.
Oh, that's what What's-Her-Face was doing already,
Meryl
right?
Streep.
And I loved, I did see a great picture of Meryl saying, she's bashing Melania and Ivanka for not coming out on Donald Trump, not coming out on the president. But there's a snapshot of her giving Roman Polanski a standing ovation. So
that's right.
So get over yourself, Meryl.
Ugh, the hypocrisy.
It's agonizing.
Oh, you can't even put it into words, so I'm not going to try.
Ridiculous.
So that sham should be fascinating to watch, though.
It sure should.
That should make for some interesting discussion on Monday. 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. Also, we were talking about the fact that in the tax break law that they just signed into law, they also put in a provision there that opens up drilling in Anwar. Finally.
Good.
Good. Another pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Another amazingly pleasant surprise.
Put that in the check mark of good for President Trump.
And actually something that Congress actually did that I support. So, and it was Trump who signed it. Now, the problem with that all along has been you're messing up the pristine beauty of the Alaskan wilderness. And then they started showing the pictures of those 2,000 square miles or whatever it is. And there's nothing there. And then, what about the caribou?
That's the point.
The mating habits of the caribou. They'll be disrupted. No, I mean, we'll play some Barry White for the caribou. Okay, they'll still be in the mood. Put speakers on the pipelines so that, and just play the Barry White music so they'll still be in the mood to mate.
Well, we found out really with the original pipeline that we didn't even have to play Barry White music, right? It was just the warmth.
They showed up and joined the pipeline.
Yeah, they said, hey, we can take care of a little business right here by the pipeline.
A little bit warmer over here. Instead of 38 below as it is over there.
Right.
It's a little closer to zero right here.
When did they build this?
Yeah. Ben in North Carolina, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hi, Glenn.
That's Pat, but hi, Ben. Go ahead.
Anyway.
It's on your mind.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you guys were talking about global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a question I always ask my global warming people. And the question is, they are always talking about the ice caps melting, right?
Yep.
That's an indication of global warming.
Yes.
10,000 years ago, the ice cap was in probably New York State.
Right.
What started it melting then?
Yeah, because it wasn't the SUVs at that time, right? It must have just been the CO2, the exhaling from the animals at the time that caused it. I know. Appreciate it, Ben. Thanks. 888-727 Beck. That is, you know, they just ignore the fact that there have been ice ages.
I love the fact
they ignore that.
I love the fact now that people have, I'm talking to my, you know, the global warming people. You still can't convince them.
I know.
And he's just one of those global warming guys.
I don't know how you just dismiss to them millions of years, billions of years, actually, of planetary climate change. It's changed over and over and over again. There have been ice ages. There have been warming ages. Huh. There have been ice ages again, and then they warmed again. Why? Huh. Yeah, that just happens. Yeah, but you can't convince them of that.
No.
For some reason. They ignore that. And even Al Gore, when he talked about the melting ice caps, it was supposed to be much worse than this. Yeah. If you remember what he said about Dr. Maslowski.
And some of the models.
Some of the,
suggest
of the models.
To
the draft. They don't state it emphatically. They suggest to Dr. Maslowski
that there is a 75% chance.
75%
that the entire North Polar ice cap.
Polar ice cap
during some of the summer months could be completely ice free within the next 5 to 7 years.
Ice free. This was what, 2007, I think. Obviously, this didn't come to pass. Obviously, that didn't happen. The evidence that was suggested to Dr. Maslowski was nonsense.
That is so good.
And you can't get him to fess up to that.
Not a chance. I mean, he walks the line on everything he did, everything he says.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
And he gets away with it.
Rich in Georgia, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Just to make a couple of points real quick. You know, there are people up there in the slope. You know, not a lot. There are people. There are some villages up there, and there's a lot of caribou and there's other things up there. But other than that, I just want to make one quick point about the global warming thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know infinite amount of knowledge on weather, but I do a degree in it, and I can say from the classes I've taken that the last interglacial period before the one we're in now, before the last ice age, sea levels were 6 meters or about 20 feet higher than they are now. So we've been here before. We'll be here again in the future.
Yep.
It was warmer than that in the past. You know, people are getting lost in the weeds and all the details about highs and lows and pressure and winds and what happened last year. And it just, you just look at the big picture. We've been here before, and it's going to happen again. And it's just a way to come up with taxes and government programs and get reelected.
Yep.
And all this stuff.
Make people money. You bet. Rich, where do you live in Alaska now?
Yeah.
What part?
Southwest interior. But I lived on the North Slope for 6-7 years. So.
Okay. And in Anwar, in that general area, there are people who live there?
I was there for about 9 months, many, many years ago.
Yeah. Okay. But people do live. There's villages
there? There's a town called Kaktovik. There's a few hundred people there. Yeah, there's people that live there. Not a lot, but there are people there, yeah.
My gosh, what are you doing there? What are you doing there?
Well, you know, that's a whole other topic.
All right, thanks, Rich.
But I mean, this whole deal about global warming, it's warming up. Well, it's happened before.
Right.
And how often they tell who's doing it and who's responsible, they just want to come up with a way to tax people. That's all it's ever been about.
Right.
They just want to create programs and get people voting for them. That's all they want to do.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. $96 trillion is what Al Gore is saying we need to fix this problem now. $96
trillion. Wow.
You know how much money exists in the world right now? $60
trillion. Oh.
He wants one-third more money than in the entire world. That's all. Yeah, it'll fix it. No problem. Not a problem, Al.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn. 888-727-BECK. Let's go to Mike in Texas. Hey, Mike, you're on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good.
So the reason I called was this Ben Vereen thing with hair.
Yeah.
And he's being accused of sexual harassment.
Right.
Does anybody remember what the costumes were in hair?
What costumes?
In some cases, there weren't costumes.
They're making us a chamber.
Right.
I was actually...
Thanks, Mike.
We saw you on the board, and I was looking up some of the images, reminding myself of the Hair musical. And yeah, I mean, so it makes sense that Ben would be, wanting people to, look not like me to be in the musical. You look like Jeffy. You know what? No.
Yeah, you're probably not getting... You're not being cast in the
correct
in the
correct.
Production.
It's
of
not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Neither am I.
No,
neither one of us are being cast
right.
in Hair.
Now, is that some sort of
yes? It is
right
discrimination.
It sure is.
But yeah, when they're talking costumes in Hair, as Mike points out, they were naked. Yeah. I don't know if the cast members, because I actually saw the production, but I remember people talking about it.
Yeah,
and it was an R-rated. It was an R-rated play.
It looks like at some point they all get at least half naked, and you're wearing outfits where a lot of your body is showing, shorts and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Open vests and that kind of thing. So I mean, you've got to be able to have some sort of body that people would like to look at.
Yes. Which doesn't mean that Ben Vereen should be grabbing women or touching them or doing anything inappropriate.
No,
however,
absolutely does
some of
not.
These things that they're accusing him of, hugging, for instance, people hug all the time. If you're kissing them against their will, that's not right. But hugging, people walk up and hug just to greet, right? I don't know. And they say it was aggressive hugging. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? Describe it to me.
That means that when I come up and I hug you, and then I really don't let go. I come up and say, hey, mm-hmm. how you doing?
Okay.
And I love you so much. It's good to have you here.
And you just hold me a little too long?
Yeah.
I will say this. If you hug me for half a second, that's too long.
I know, but come here. I'll show you exactly what I'm talking
right.
about.
Is no,
what I'm saying.
Okay.
You wanted an example.
Okay.
I'm willing to.
But
I'll
again,
show you.
But again, he admits to wrongdoing, and he's apologizing
right.
for it. So,
okay,
they must be onto something.
And,
I don't know.
Or you just in today's climate, maybe you can just get out in front of it.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, no, I didn't consider that harassment at all. I was just hugging and kissing and taking my clothes off because I was saying this is what has to happen during the play, that kind of thing. Instead of trying to fight it like that, you're going to get killed. You're just going to know, Ben.
Yeah, and you're going to look like you're on the side of women now if you admit, suppose. I don't know. The only one I've seen who's a high-profile person who has denied this allegation is Warren Sapp. From the NFL Network. You remember when the four or five guys from the NFL Network got fired?
Oh, yeah,
and in fact, a couple of the guys who used to work at NFL Network that were now at ESPN, they also got fired from ESPN, and it didn't even happen there. Warren
right?
Sapp said, no, I didn't do any. None of it was sexual harassment. Absolutely not. Because their makeup artist was in the bathroom getting their clothes ready or something in the men's restroom, and he said I had to go to the bathroom, and I went in there, and so I said, yeah, well, this is what happens. You're in the men's room.
Thank you.
I have to agree with that part of it.
Now Warren is,
he didn't touch her, he didn't do anything, he just said, hey, you're in the men's room, maybe you set up shop somewhere else.
But just a thought.
If you don't want to see men naked. 888-727 Beck is the phone number.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Drilling in Anwar, actually happening, or about to. It's been opened up now due to the tax bill, which is interesting. So that's Republicans doing what Democrats do to them all the time. Put certain things like a pay raise for the military in some bill for global warming. That's the kind of stuff they pull. So Republicans gave them a little taste of that.
Good.
Which is surprising. They don't usually play the game, and that's interesting that they did, and good. Good. So even more energy independence for the United States. I mean, that's a huge oil and gas reserve. Huge that they've opened up now. And we'll hear from the environmentalists that, you're disturbing the pristine area that you've invaded on the mating habits of the caribou and all those things.
Absolutely, we will.
It's just nonsense. 888-727 Beck. Let's go to Greg in Nevada. Greg, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy. Hi.
How are you guys doing? Good morning.
Doing good.
So I got a fun story. We were on a family vacation about 8 years ago up in Oregon, and we went through the Oregon caves. So we did the tour and getting towards the end, and they had this long, like, hallway tunnel. And the little girl, the ranger girl, says, you know, do you guys know why the walls of this tunnel go in and out and in and out? And it was about a 10-foot tall tunnel, and there was probably six of these cuts in the sidewalls that were rounded, and, you know, they'd come in and go out and come in and go out. So she was trying to get the kids to say something, and nobody said anything. So I raised my hand and I said, I know. And she said, well, what's that? And I said, well, it means Al Gore is full of baloney. And my dad started laughing, and she gave me the nastiest look. Like, it just made perfect sense. Like, man, this has been going on for millions of years, but nobody wants to admit it.
Right.
So, it was just great. A fun story, and it was so great because, you know, all my kids, we all talked about it afterwards, and, you know, it was great to see that naturally this has been going on for millions of years.
Yeah, and your guide was, she was young, so she's been indoctrinated
young. Yes.
Yeah.
Young 20s, young kids. Yep.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Greg. That's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing about the next generation. Boy, they're all, I don't know about all, but many, probably the vast majority of them, all buy into global
warming.
They sure do. They don't even question it. They don't even, they've been so nicely indoctrinated in school.
Yep, it's real.
They don't even question it's happening. Yeah. 888-727 Beck. Scott in Florida, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi. With Pat and Jeffy. Hi.
Hi, guys. Hey. Love the show.
Thank you.
Just to kind of give some facts out there for a lot of listeners, that this has been going on for since the beginning of time. The biggest pollutant on the planet Earth puts out about 11 to 12 metric tons of CO2 into the atmosphere, is our ocean. Our ocean does it every year in the summertime.
We should dry up the ocean.
Because of all the dead debris, the fish and plant life. Now, that's when they'll take the samples and say, look, it's rising. But what happens in the wintertime, it acts as a sponge. It literally reabsorbs it from the atmosphere back into the ocean. And that's when they
don't take samples. That's why I hate the ocean.
Yeah. So, but it's an actual natural thing that happens.
Yeah.
But, that's the biggest.
Scott, did you hear their explanation a couple of years ago about the ocean?
Right.
They were so stunned that the ocean works the way it does that the CBS report... The reason that we're not so much warmer is because the ocean does these. It absorbed some of the heat that was coming off of the CO2. Listen to this.
Carbon emissions also trap heat. Today's report shows oceans have absorbed 90% of that heat, raising ocean temperatures by half a degree.
Okay.
Had all that heat gone into the atmosphere, air temperatures could have risen by more than 200 degrees.
Yeah.
So, Scott, in Dallas, Texas right now, if it weren't for the oceans surprising us the way they did, it would be 242 degrees above zero.
That's why I hate the oceans right there.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Al Gore will not mention that.
No.
That's our Earth's buffer. That's our protected.
It's
our ocean.
Yeah. No, but Al Gore
is our protector.
He will say that. It's true. Will use the.
Thanks,
Scott.
Now,
listen, if the ocean doesn't absorb that, we're going to be 200 degrees hotter.
Oh, yeah. You know? But that's the way the planet works.
No, but I'm just saying that if the ocean doesn't
That. Right. Okay? If it stops in its process.
The ocean doesn't do that, we're going to burn to death.
And you were surprised by that? You didn't know that the Earth functioned the way it does? But we're supposed to listen to every other thing you say.
And we sure are.
And listen to it and absorb it as gospel truth. It's mind-boggling. Let's go to Gary in Michigan. Gary, you're on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy.
Pat and Jeff, you guys are awesome.
Thank you
for taking my call. So, hey, I was going to the church the other morning for some meetings, and I was thinking about the weather coming up this week and how warm it was going to be. So I decided to ask Siri what the temperature was 8 years ago, because it seems like it was cold 8 years ago. But Siri couldn't tell me. It was pretty surprising. I asked Siri, I said, hey, Siri, what was the temperature 10 years ago today? And you know what she told me?
No.
I can't give past temperatures.
Wow.
Oh, that's funny. You should try this, Pat, because it's great.
I'm going to.
I thought, let's ask Siri if she knows what the future is going to tell us. So I said, hey, Siri, what is the temperature going to be 10 years from today? And guess what?
Warmer?
She told me.
Really?
Oh, she told me the temperature. For some reason, Siri could not tell me a fact on what the temperature was 10 years ago today.
Well, how is she giving you a temperature?
But what was the temperature 10 years from now?
Well, it was going to be 14 because, you know, Sunday was only 12, I think it was, here in Michigan. But
they're keeping it in the same window.
I think she was able to kind of generalize. But
that's amazing.
I was suspect that she couldn't give me a fact, but she could give me, you know.
Speculation.
Yeah.
That is interesting. That is really interesting. Thanks, Gary. I wonder if that has something to do with who programs these Apple devices.
See, now you're
surely not.
No.
Surely not.
Now you're in your whole little AI computer conspiracy stuff. Okay.
Dennis in Michigan, welcome to the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
When I was in school back in the late 50s and early 60s, we were taught. We're living at the tail end of an ice age, of the last ice age. You know what it does at the tail end of an ice age?
Warms up.
It warms up.
Warms up.
Son of a gun, it's doing what it's supposed to. Who'd have thunk?
I know. You don't hear that anymore, though.
No, you do not.
You don't hear that the 50s and 60s were the tail end of any ice age. You don't hear about that. Dennis. Appreciate it. It's amazing.
Long gone.
It's anything that doesn't fit their agenda is just swept under the rug. Anything.
And they've done it. You know, you mentioned I don't know that all millennials, but in that age group, maybe, you know, late millennials into that, whatever it is, the Generation X in the middle.
Yep.
They definitely believe.
Yeah, they do.
They've had that driven into their souls, man.
I think the vast majority of them do. If you're under 45, there's a good chance you believe in global warming.
And I mean, 35, absolutely.
Yes.
You've got it driven into your soul, man.
Yep.
Whereas
when I was in school, and I'm sure when you were too, back in the 1860s and 70s, Jeffy, that I was always told that the climate here is cyclical. It changes.
Yes.
You know, there were warmer periods and there were colder periods than we currently have. And in the future, you know what? There will be warmer periods and there will be colder periods. That's what they said.
I mean, that's
I guess, heresy now.
Yes. I mean,
it's heresy.
That was the beginning of, the Farmer's Almanac, right? You had to look at that so you knew this year, hopefully this year, the crops will make it. You know, we're looking at what happened. We're looking at what happened last year. We're looking at what happened 100 years ago. You know, when they talk about that's a 100-year flood at some places, okay, yep, you know what? That's right.
And what
is not going to do it for another 100 years.
What the Farmer's Almanac say about this winter? It's going to be exceptionally cold. What has this winter been so far?
Exceptionally cold.
Huh. Strange. Strange.
We didn't have the almanac back in the
18th. No, of course not. Dave in Florida, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi. Line 8 with Dave. There, Dave. Sometimes sometimes we have a button that sticks, and they. I mean, it's a complicated. High technology for us to really fix. But go ahead. What's up?
Blame it on the cold.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I just want to touch on a couple brief points. All of these President Trump naysayers. What I'd like to say is this: that over the last 8 years of the Obama administration, I watched my paycheck increase an average annually of 3%. This last year, it went up 10.5%.
Nice.
Over the last 8 years under the President Obama, my 401k averaged maybe 2.5 to 3%. This last year, it's increased 33%.
Right.
And I'd like to close in saying this new tax bill that's going through, which I am really excited to see how it's going to play out for me.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know if all of these rich, elite Hollywood stars and these elite liberals are going to give back any of the benefits that they receive from this tax bill that is for the corporate and rich people only.
Oh, sure.
And in closing, I just have to partially disagree with the gentleman that was talking about the biggest pollutant of the planet being the ocean. Over the last years, in my opinion, it was the Obama administration. Gentlemen, have a good day.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave's doing so well. Dinner's on him tonight for all of us.
No doubt.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Big time.
So, thanks, Dave.
I mean, we appreciate it, Dave.
Yeah. Mike in Pennsylvania, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Good morning. Straight to point. My wife and I both have college degrees from environmental science and forestry at Syracuse. It's a 40-year-old degree. At that time, we were told we're going into an ice age. Obviously, Mr. Gore thinks we're not. And I would just act, I would stack my science degree against his law degree. I can't practice law, and he should not be trying to practice science.
Thank you.
The Finger Lakes in New York State, one of the most beautiful areas in the country, mm-hmm. were formed by glaciers. They're 10,000 years old.
Yeah. I mean, you've got the examples like that all over the planet,
everywhere.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. Appreciate it. Thanks, Mike. 888-727-BECK. Let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour, which is Simply Safe. If I can find it. Simply.
There you go. It's right there. Simply Safe.
If you've been thinking about your home security, there is no better time to get it than right now. You know, you've heard Glenn sing the praises of Simply Safe. I've done it too. It's just the best protection you can get for you and your family. They've put together a massive security arsenal for your home. It's a really special package. And it's got the entry sensors, the motion sensors, glass break sensors, everything you need to stop criminals from ever getting inside your home and imperiling your property and your family. These are the guys we trust. And right now, Simply Safe is giving you an absolutely incredible offer. You get $200 off this handpicked security package. It's complete protection for your home. Simply Safe was already the best value in home security. There's no contracts, there's no commitments, and now you'll get $200 off this incredible package. Just go to simplysafebeck.com. Simplysafebeck.com. Save $200 on their home security pick. Simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray, Jeffy for Glenn. Glenn's back Monday morning. We're just looking at the Farmer's Almanac for this winter. Interestingly, the Farmer's Almanac, which has existed since 1792.
200 years.
Is a better weather predictor than Al Gore and his minions. I think in 1792 they predicted what it would be like today better than Al Gore could do and his climate models, were all wrong, all 98 of them.
Unless you live on the West Coast, you're going to want to prepare yourself for a cold and wet winter this year. Huh?
How true is that,
Ben?
I know when I was watching the bowl games on New Year's Day, it was freezing cold here. It was what, 20, yeah, was in the cold. 20s? Yeah. Freezing cold. In Los Angeles, where the bowl game was, it was 85 degrees.
It is.
I mean, they nailed that exactly right. The areas between the Great Lakes and Northeast should prepare for particularly snowier than normal conditions this winter. Is that not what's happening?
The forecast for the Southeast includes an unseasonable chill reaching as far south as the Gulf Coast.
We've seen it in Florida. We're seeing it in Texas. It's cold.
And with above
starting to warm up here a little bit, but it's been freezing cold.
With above average precipitation. So, okay, there you go. Farmer's Almanac.
West of the Rocky Mountains, it's going to be a lot drier and warmer. And I think, wow, I think pretty much nailed it.
Now, Keith came in here with some picture of a map that he claims is the Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah.
That has a winter prediction 2017 to 18 that is
different than this.
Different than this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he claims that this is the Farmer's Almanac picture. Doesn't say Farmer's Almanac on it. I just want to be clear for Keith. I want to make sure that he understands this is not the Farmer's Almanac. Okay? He's wrong.
You don't have to convince me.
Okay.
I knew he was wrong the second he brought it in here.
Okay. I'll be clear.
888-727 Beck. Eric in Massachusetts. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
He's so mad right now.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say that I disagree with the president's view on marijuana.
In what way? And you don't want him to crack down on the states that have legalized it?
I do not. This is the first president since 1993 to have never smoked pot. I personally quit smoking pot last year. I'm 29, married, bought a house, you know.
Uh-huh.
I no longer enjoy getting high, but my friends do. And they're all gainfully employed, one even as a child. And I just think that the president should respect the 10th Amendment.
Well, you have one advocate in this room.
I understand.
To my left. And
I understand. I said yesterday, good luck fighting it when Sessions, you know, came out, said he was going to, you know, revamp it.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yep. 888-727 Beck.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn, who's back Monday morning after, was he at a 90-day vacation here? It's nice.
It always seems that nice. Way. It always seems
it does seem that way, doesn't it?
It does.
And for him and Stu, I'm sure they both are going to feel like that. And then by about halfway through the show, they're going to feel like they never had a vacation. That's just how it works.
How long have we been doing this?
Oh, geez. Isn't it time for vacation again? 888-727 Beck. Job numbers are good. Unemployment is down to 4.1%. You know they can manipulate that a little bit, but actually these seem to be fairly real numbers. It seems like employment, a lot of businesses, a lot of employers are saying they're having a hard time getting people in to even apply for jobs because everybody's got one, supposedly. And so 148,000 jobs were added in December, which seems a little low for a December number because you got the holiday workforce in there.
Yeah.
148,000 seems a tad light. So that's going on.
They were talking a little bit about, wasn't it Bastardi that was talking about the weather hurting that a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Around the country. So, I mean,
yeah,
that's, you know, could be one possible scenario.
Possibly. Also, we've been talking global warming today because Al Gore is he's back to tell us that the cold is brought on by warm. I don't know how people buy in. I really don't. And a lot of the people that, you know, this consensus that they have, most of those people who go along for the ride with Al Gore are not climate people. They don't know anything about weather. They're not meteorologists. Some are, and some meteorologists who've jumped on that bandwagon don't want to get off because now they'll look like they were wrong, which they are. But Al Gore went on record last night to say that, this cold, this is exactly what we told you was coming. This extreme cold. No, that's not what you said was coming. What you said was no snow and warmer winters. That's what you said was coming. That we were going to have to explain to our children. I will never forget this. We're going to have to explain to our children who are growing up today, and this was back in 2005 or so, what snow and cold was like. I'm not having a hard time explaining that, frankly. And people in the Northeast certainly aren't having a difficult time. 888-727-BECK. Gore claimed in 2010, after they said that there was going to be no snow, and then it started snowing heavily again. Because you know what? It varies. The temperature is variable. It goes in cycles. And so after claiming that there was going to be no snow, in 2010, Gore claimed increased heavy snowfalls are completely consistent with man-made global warming. Really? Okay. You know, everything is consistent with man-made global warming. Drought, flood, hurricanes, no hurricanes, hot, cold, melting, freezing, everything doesn't is matter. Proof. It doesn't matter. There's no way they can be wrong. And what a great, I mean, when that's your argument that everything is proof of what you say is true, that's a pretty good position to be in.
You aren't kidding.
Pretty good.
Except, well, you know, it is, except that for no matter, you know, for him, because his reputation is on the line, he has to be sure that he can leave that out all the time.
Yeah.
So he's covered.
And his predictions are always years from now. And there's, as he did with the melting ice in the Arctic, saying that,
yes,
there's according to some of Dr. Math Lathke's research. So he's got an out there, because that was according to some of it. Some of the rest of it said this exactly what is happening now happened. But some of Dr. Math Lathke's research suggests that there's a 75% chance that in summer month,
yes,
there could be entire, there could be no ice in some summer months in the Arctic in 5 to 7 years, which didn't happen. But he can say, well, yeah, there was just a 75% chance of that. And it was only going to be in some summer months.
So bad.
The other 25% of Dr. Maslowski's research said exactly what's happening now, whatever it is.
Yes.
That's what's going to happen. Yes. And he was right about that.
We just didn't talk about that.
888-727-BECK. Let's go to Brian in North Carolina. Brian, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy. Hi.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you?
Morning. Doing well.
Hey, so I was afraid you were going to challenge me to correlate climate change with the uptick in sexual harassment, but I'm glad you're not asking me for that.
I'm sure there is a correlation, though. There's got to be, right? It causes everything.
Right. Well, it was about 45 minutes ago. You guys were talking about sexual harassment. You were talking about why it is that
everybody's admitting to it.
Yeah. They're copping to it. And you would think that if they had been serial sexual harassers, the first thing they would do is deny.
Well, yeah, if you don't have a problem abusing women, you don't have a problem lying about abusing women.
Right. But I think, here's what I think. I think that these people, while they are dirtbags, they're not dumb.
No question.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they're very calculated in how they come out. And I think Al Franken / Stuart Smalley is a great example.
Yes.
Because typically, I guess like philanders, harassers tend to be serial harassers. Mm. It's not usually one event or one circumstance.
Yes.
So if this comes out, there might be 9 years, 19 years of a body of work.
Right.
And so maybe there's two or three women who have formally accused him of it. But there may be a whole lot of other victims that are sitting on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm thinking is that what they're concerned about doing is coming out and categorically denying
everything. I agree.
Because I believe, have you heard that?
Oh, that's, I mean, that's kind of what we talked about, you know, as a possible scenario, because I think where you're headed is that, you know, that way they're out in front of it. They're done. They've already admitted to it. And if you've got a body of work behind you, at that point, once you've admitted it, A, either the new people that come out seem like they're lying, like they're the ones that are just trying to pile on, mm-hmm. or we don't need to relitigate this. I've already covered this.
Yeah, that
I
mean,
right. I feel that's right.
Yeah,
there may be women that just don't want that in their lives, don't right. want to enter the fray. But this might just become, if they categorically deny any behavior such as that, I think it just shows fuel or inspiration for other women to come out and chronicle other yes. events and other circumstances, and all of a sudden it spirals. And so yeah. I noticed, like with Frank, and you know, he was his mock apology was more about self-preservation than anything else.
No question about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Appreciate the call, Brian. And his recollection was different than theirs, which is another common theme. Yeah, I remember that a little differently, but yeah, I'm sorry if I did anything wrong, yeah. but I don't remember it that way, so I don't know that I did anything wrong, but I'm really
sorry.
I'm sorry if, you know, if your perception is that I crossed any boundary. I apologize for that perception.
Thank you.
For which I'm not responsible.
But
my recollection of the whole incident is different, but I'm sorry that you feel that way, because, wow, you don't want women to feel that way.
No, you don't. And we'd like to, you know, I'd like to get past this if we could.
Yeah, that's a great point. Mike in Florida, you're on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Stu. Hi. Or Jeffy, actually. Stu's not here. Hey.
Thank God.
Up, you were breaking up. What?
Yeah.
We're going to put you on hold for a second until you get into a better cell area.
You know what causes bad cell areas?
Global warming.
Thank you.
Global warming.
Clearly. There's no fact.
If according to Dr. Maslowski, the research, in some winter month, in some of the country, like Florida, for instance, there will be a lack of cellular service. And he was right. Dr. Maslowski's research in that case was right. Dead on the money. Tell him it's not, because it is. Mike in Alaska, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Yeah, one thing I want to explain to me about from the global warming people.
Uh-huh.
Why do we have fossils of palm trees in central Alaska?
I've often wondered that. I really have. Yeah. Is it just that palm trees used to be a little more sturdy and they could hold up to 45 below?
Well, I hear you got snow on palm trees in Florida now, so I don't know. Maybe that's
yeah.
the case.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. And I went in the military in 1980. I left Anchorage, Alaska. It had rained all winter. Okay, up to that point, we were getting ready to land in San Antonio. They diverted the flight to Dallas, Texas, because they had 6 inches of snow. I thought they were joking.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
In Alaska, we get used to snow. I mean, and I started laughing, and everybody on the plane was giving me these filthy looks like, this isn't a joke. And the flight attendant came up, she goes, you got to stop laughing. Everybody's getting mad. And I'm like, this is a joke. And she went, no, we're not joking. Okay. So, and the flip side of all this is we're going through global warming. Look up the temperatures in central Alaska in the winter of 1999, 2000. Where I'm living right now, which is Wasilla, which is just north of Anchorage, we were getting 45, 55 below zero. It's the coldest I've ever seen it up here.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, in this area.
Wow.
Okay. How's life in Wasilla?
I'm sorry?
How's life in Wasilla?
You got to be suffering now that Sarah's not there anymore.
Right?
Right.
Oh, well, she's a nice lady. I got to meet her once and speak with her. But
yeah. Yeah.
Pressing onto the global warming thing, you guys are getting snow down there. It was raining here a couple of days ago in 43 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we were talking right the other day. It was the same temperature.
It was the same,
up there as in Tampa.
Yeah, which is, I mean, what are the odds of that?
I know.
All right. Appreciate it, Mike. And you're right, Sarah Palin, very nice woman. We've Yeah, well, we've been at events with her.
I noticed he didn't want to talk about the events
multiple
they were
times.
At.
Very nice.
I mean, he just blew that right off. Like, she's, you know, he didn't want to talk about the parties and everything that he'd been with her. He just blew it right off.
That's
like,
right.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. It's a nice lady. Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. I should have pressed him.
okay. Mike in Florida, you in a better cell area now? Go ahead.
Yeah. How you doing, guys?
Doing good.
I just wanted to stop this horse and get out in front of everything because you guys clearly are not talking about the right subjects. Global warming is a drop in the bucket compared to the assaults that are happening to women every single day.
Really?
You know, I, for one, I have to, you know, I have to put it out there on the air right now. I want to apologize to my wife. And I'll apologize on behalf of all married men in America who assault their wife every single morning before they go to work. You know,
yes,
so, you know, every kissing morning, him.
Sometimes
I give her a kiss. And
did you ask her if it's okay? In the, probably not.
Oh, no,
she's
probably
asleep.
Not.
She's asleep.
Of course not.
Right.
Yeah. And, right. It's my wife. I just took it. I just took that kiss. Yeah. And I feel bad about that. And
you should.
You guys brought that to light yesterday. So now I just realized, as you've been talking, I'm a habitual assaulter. And I just want to get out in front of this.
All right.
And, you know, apologize for all the men out there.
Well, that's the first step, Mike. That's the first step.
Well, you have to admit it. And you have
you
to,
do.
You know, that's how the healing begins.
That's right.
And in return for my cause of all of this global warming, I'm going to jump in my H2. I'm going to drive to Alaska, and I'm going to club a bunch of baby seals.
So insensitive. Baby seals.
See, I thought you were serious. I thought you were serious taking, you know, owning up to the harassment. But then that's gone too far.
But then the clubbing of baby seals.
I can't condone that.
No.
Come on, baby. Now, I will say...
Yes.
That, sadly, this is kind of where we're going, right? Where we're going to make, we're in that window now that there's been so many accusations.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're at the point where all can't be real, right? I mean, they all can't be real.
You wouldn't think so.
Or they all can't be, kissing my wife, sleeping in bed before I walk out the door every morning is not harassment. I'm sorry, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that I kissed a female without her acknowledgement and without her saying, okay, yes, that's true. But that's not sexual harassment.
Right.
And so calling that is turns everything back into this, it's a joke now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's where we're headed with all of it. It's kind of...
Yes, it could have a backlash.
I know.
Sort of response to it. Definitely.
So, I mean, I think we need to definitely calm down on the, you know.
And it seems to have calmed down a little bit.
You're accused of something and you're guilty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You did it. Somebody accused you. You're guilty. I mean, that's a little frightening.
And it's un-American. 888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
After a story in which Michael Wolff this morning said he stands behind the book, all of it's true. He's written millions upon millions of words. Remember that? And he doesn't retract any of them. Now he is saying he can't be sure if all of it is true. The author of the explosive new book about Donald Trump's presidency just now has acknowledged that in the book that he wasn't certain all of its contents are true.
I want my money back.
And you just bought it this morning?
I bought a copy this morning. I want my money back. I want my refund. I mean, these guys, you know what they're finding out? And that's the same as Bannon. We talked about it earlier today, talking about how Bannon backed off his Trump and tried to make the fine line between
Trump called him a great man the night that all of this broke.
The same night.
Same night. Mm-hmm.
And we read stories today where
financial backers.
Yes. All the big money people who are involved with Bannon and or Trump, but it's really Trump/Bannon, are saying, hey, guys, what are you doing?
Yeah. You're if you don't support the president, then forget it. I mean, we're not going to support you.
You know, all those foundations and all the stuff we give money to and everything you do.
The Mercer family said that.
Deason was talking about it. Deason, the billionaire from here in Texas.
Yep.
I mean, they're all like, have a nice day. We're with Trump. Good luck. God bless to you.
Right.
And that's Wolf, too. Right. Wolf's like, good luck getting another book published. Have a nice day. What are you doing? What do you think you're doing? Maybe you can sell some more books on your little YouTube channel, but you're not going to be publishing it through our companies. So they're all backing off. What a bunch of...
I know.
They're all weasels.
I know. It's interesting. It's interesting to see, though. I mean, like, what is going to be left for Steve Bannon? Yeah, he may not. He may lose the Breitbart stuff.
Yeah,
he might lose that. The SiriusXM radio show.
According to the article I read this morning, he's darn lucky he still has it. I mean, what I read this morning was it looked like they were going to pull the plug on that yesterday. They're all a bunch of weeds. I can't think. That's ridiculous.
It is.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Lynn in Michigan. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy.
First time caller.
Welcome.
Yeah. Well, just what you were talking about, I saw an interview with the author, Wolf, I forget his first name, and it was pretty much ground control to Major Tom. The guy is just out there.
Yeah.
So it was real discernible to just know that he's just, you know, there's missing some parts to this.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, definitely. But
talking about global warming, because I've done a lot of wildlife photography, I'm in Michigan.
Okay.
And we've had 90 inches of snow. We get about 120, so we've almost had what we get the entire season in just a couple of weeks.
And wow.
Yeah, people have had to get front-end loaders to push snow into their yards.
Yeah. Wow.
So everything looks like a shopping mall parking lot. You know?
So you don't have to explain to the youth in the area what snow looked like back in the day? You're not at that stage yet then?
No, I'm an older woman. We used to get snow at Thanksgiving, but things were more moderated. And that was another point about global warming, because I've done so much wildlife photography as a hobby. But, you know, everybody calls me the critter lady.
Mm-hmm.
If they're more conscious of keeping natural areas while they're building, you know, homes and businesses and so forth, then you'll keep temperatures more moderate and have less microclimates. And that's where a lot of hot and cold air does bump into each other.
Right.
If you just cement it all. So instead of just always looking up at the greenhouse effect, let's look at the surface.
The cement effect. Thank you. Thanks, Lynn. Yeah.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is a catchy tune, man. I'm going to be humming this all day long.
Dang, this is taking me through the weekend. This is getting me through the weekend, baby.
It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. He's back Monday morning. I love this tweet from Donald Trump about the Michael Wolff book. This is quintessential Donald Trump. I authorize zero act, because he says that he talked to Trump in the White House. And Michael Wolff claims, well, if he didn't know it was an interview, it was an interview.
Right.
But Trump says, he tweeted out, I authorize zero access to the White House. Actually turned him down many times for that author of a phony book. That's that whole, he was in my office begging like a dog for an interview.
He used to come back for money. Away.
It's full of lies, misrepresentation, sources that don't exist. Look at this guy's past and watch what happens to him and Sloppy Steve. So it's Sloppy Steve.
Oh, yeah,
now.
That's Sloppy Steve. He started that.
And that last line is very telling, because, they're already being destroyed.
No
Michael
question.
Wolff and Sloppy Steve Bannon
are done.
Are seriously in trouble here.
Well,
they're seriously in trouble.
And we talked about it, throughout the show today about the money people pulling the plug already. But Trump also tweeted a little bit about an hour ago. The Mercer family recently dumped the leaker known as Sloppy Steve Bannon. Smart. I mean, those guys are done, right? They're done.
Yeah, I'm afraid they are.
They're done.
I mean, I'm not afraid. I don't really care, but
I don't necessarily care either. But I'm just saying the big money guys, all those GOP donors and foundation guys that have, you know, big money. I mean, where you go to get money for foundations, mm-hmm. not just a job.
Yeah.
Those guys are all.
They're all Trump guys.
Have a nice day.
And if you're not with Trump, you're not with them.
Have a nice day.
It's interesting. You cross this president at your own peril. We saw that. Everybody sees that.
I mean, it's kind of
at your own peril.
We did kind of
go ahead. Well, he steamrolled the 17 other people in the race that we talked about the other day.
Yeah.
Or you criticize him in a book look what happens. Or you turn on him after you've been part of his inner circle,
man.
Like Steve Bannon. Look out.
He lets you in.
Look out.
Well, I mean, kind of deservedly so in my eyes.
With Bannon?
If someone lets you in, if someone lets you inside, and then you turn on him, you know what?
Unless there's really good reason. Right? If they betrayed you first or it treated you poorly, you might you might tell people about that. I mean, you're not going to be loyal just to be loyal, no matter come what may. You know, human
That's
beings
true.
Don't usually respond that way. But here's another piece of good news for you. 888-727 back, by the way, if you'd like to get in touch with us, last portion of the show. The Trump administration, not only have they opened up ANWR, well, they didn't. Actually, Congress kind of did by putting that into the tax bill, and then it's signed into law by Donald Trump, which opens up drilling in ANWR. Amazing.
Good.
They've also unveiled a proposal to permit drilling in most of the United States continental shelf waters, including protected areas of the Arctic and the Atlantic. So not only ANWR, but they've opened up the Arctic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Gulf of Mexico, the Atlantic Ocean, things that were off limits, according to Barack Obama, are now back in play here. Interesting.
And while that's good,
states may not agree to it.
That's
right. That'll be up to them. Yeah. You know, I don't think for instance, California is not going to do that.
Is California still part of the United States?
It's so far.
Really?
So far.
Huh.
Yeah.
I thought they were a sanctuary state.
But Texas? Texas very well may.
Yeah, you know, and I know
there might be much more drilling off the shore.
And they talked. That's been an argument in Florida for years off the coast, off the West Coast specifically.
The thing is, they're usually offshore enough to where you don't see them, and they don't become an unsightly mess.
That's
way out there.
That's the big push from Florida.
Yeah,
is the look.
You don't want them just off the beach,
right?
That tends to spoil some of the other recreational activities you're doing.
Yeah, and that's
and the
big
scenery.
Concern.
Yeah. And then there's the worry about the oil spills and all of that.
Well, the oil spills, I think, those are few and far between now in today's world, really. I mean, let's be honest.
And while some people disagree with this, it's another thing the Earth sort of handles.
Which we saw in the last big one, right?
Which we saw in the BP spill.
Yeah.
It had gone way out to sea. It was gigantic. What happened? It went away.
So
the ocean swallowed it up. I don't know. The ocean has a way of doing that because oil leaks into the ocean every day, all the time.
That's funny. That's how we
naturally
know.
from the bottom.
That's how we know it's there,
right? Pretty amazing. This wasn't done by accident,
right?
And our Creator, the Lord, knew that certain things were going to happen. And it had to be resilient enough to deal with them. And I think it is. And does that mean we shouldn't care about the environment? Of course not.
Absolutely.
It means we should do everything we can to protect it. But also, on the other hand, it's way more resilient than the Al Gores of the world give it credit for.
We should do everything we can to preserve it. But
yes,
we also need
course.
To survive as a species.
Right. And did SUVs surprise him, our maker, our creator? Oh, wow, I didn't see the SUVs coming. Oh, I should have provided that for that. Some kind of process where, I don't know, even breathing created CO2. And then the plants and the trees enjoy it and absorb it. And so does the ocean. But, Al Gore doesn't even... The climate global warmists didn't even understand that the ocean absorbed warmth.
Right.
Otherwise,
right.
You wouldn't have had a report like this.
Carbon emissions also trap heat. Today's report shows oceans have absorbed 90% of that heat, raising ocean temperatures by half a degree.
Half a degree.
Heat gone into the atmosphere, air temperatures could have risen by more than 200 degrees.
Yeah. So what do you got to say about that?
Well, I have this
That's
to
what
say
I thought.
About that. It was created that way so that that would happen when it warms so that it doesn't rise 200 degrees.
Yeah, but.
If it didn't work that way,
my friend,
it'd be 280 degrees
right.
during the summer.
So don't even start with me.
Yeah. We'd all burn up. Okay. All our crops be gone. 280, 290. It's just It's insanity.
It is.
It's insanity.
It is unbelievably crazy.
Jeff in Virginia, you're on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy. Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen. Morning. I can kill a bird with one stone.
Whoa.
Two birds with one stone.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Because I was going to say, kill a bird with a stone. That's not that much of an accomplishment.
I'm sorry. I'm a part-time writer for Al Franken, so just disregard that completely.
Okay, we will.
I can kill a bird, two birds with one stone.
You almost went there again, man.
End global warming.
All right.
I can end global warming, and I can stop thermonuclear war.
Wow.
All we need to do is get the North Koreans, the Chinese, the Russians, and the Americans to launch all of their nuclear missiles at the cause of global warming and blow it out of the sky. Once we destroy the sun, we won't have any more global warming to worry about.
There
and
no.
the world can live at peace.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Jeff, while
thanks,
I
Jeff. While, the while only I problem in that
with
is
your little bird thing.
Here's the problem though. And I don't know if you're going the same place, Jeffy. But the sun is not the cause of global warming. That's the problem. So you're blowing up an inanimate object that doesn't matter in the scope of the climate of this earth. Of this globe.
Wait.
If you're to listen to the global warmest, I mean, the sun is meaningless in this. It's CO2 that's trapping all the warmth.
Right. It's us.
It's us.
Yeah, it's us. I mean, it's us.
So you got to point those missiles at us. 888-727-BECK. Kevin in Illinois, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, happy New Year, guys.
You too.
Thank you.
Hey, I know the answer to global warming is if we just get Al Gore and all these global warmers to stop talking about it, then it would actually go away. And also, can I really, real quick, I want everybody to stay tuned for the next hour because Pat Gray Unleashed, which should also be called Pat Gray Unplugged, the best of 2017, will make you laugh so hard. It was great.
Appreciate that. Thanks. Oh, nice thank plug. You. Way to go. Yeah, that was nicely done. Yes, and coming Pat up Gray, in just a few minutes on Pat Gray Unleashed.
I had someone email me the other day calling it Pat Gray Unleaded. So I thought, it's Unleashed. It's the name of the show. It's
people have a hard time
unleaded.
With it.
I don't understand
unleashed?
It.
Unleashed? Is it unplugged? Is it unleaded?
I mean, it's just Pat Gray. Let's be
is
honest.
It uncalled for? Yes, it's all of those things.
All the above. Check.
Bill in Ohio, welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, Pat and Jeff. You guys make a fun and easy to listen to program.
Thank you.
Hey, just a thought, and I've not heard anybody mention this or go here. It just seems to me like we're being sold a watch the shiny object. The majority of these are Democrats.
With the sexual harassment stuff?
Yeah. I mean, it seems as though they're providing cover for the mainstream media. To ignore all of the real news about the previous administration and the Clintons.
Yeah.
And once it's all over, all these people who are parading across crying that they had inappropriate behaviors, they'll go back to their own lives. They're just trying to get rid of Trump. That's all. I mean, I haven't heard anybody approach it this way.
Yeah, that's very possible. Is watch what the other hand is doing.
That's an interesting thought.
Thanks, Bill. And I think you're right. And we kind of...
We did.
We kind of mentioned the fact that this is going to come around to Trump, and it already has.
Yeah. My gosh.
They've already brought that up.
That's what they're doing at the Golden Globes this weekend, right? It's good. I mean,
they're going to deflect from Hollywood and the problems of raping each other out there, which they seem to be doing on a regular basis.
Yes.
And they're going to turn that around and make it about the administration.
And Meryl Streep has already set the stage for it. Yes, she has.
Earlier this week.
Yes, she has.
By saying, I don't want to hear about my silence. I want to hear about Melania Trump's silence.
And Ivanka's silence.
Yeah.
On Donald. What about that? And that's what it's good. That is exactly what those black dress winners are going to all be singing.
It's going to be agonizing.
It's going to be absolutely agonizing. And I'm going to be angry at myself for watching.
Well, we have to because we've got a report on it.
Okay, good.
And so we'll be doing that Monday morning, immediately following this show on the Blaze Radio and TV network on Pat Gray Unleashed or Unplugged or Unbelievable or whatever it's called.
Unleaded?
Unleaded. Ian in Texas, you're on the Glenn Beck Show. Hi.
Ian? How you doing?
Doing good.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Okay. I've been trying to call in ever since I heard your millennial comment on global warming and how they believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, yes. I'm a millennial thanks to my age, but I don't believe in global warming at all.
Thank heavens.
Fluctuate period, whether we're here or not.
Well, but you must have been raised right.
Yeah. Did they try to convince you? Did you go to public school?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they try to convince you that global warming is a man-caused global warming is going to kill the planet?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, sure.
Well, there you go. They're highly liberal nowadays.
Right.
Unfortunately, I'm not.
That's great.
Well, that's good for you.
So was it your parents or just your own common sense? How did you...
At first, I would say my parents, but now that I'm a father of two boys myself, I've been paying a lot more attention to the political scene on my own.
Yeah, good for you. Good. Appreciate it. Thanks, Seth.
Yeah, it's funny
Thanks
how that happens.
It is.
it's funny how that happens.
When you become a responsible adult with a family, you want to learn some things on your own. That's a good safety tip right there.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Jeffy on the Glenn Beck program.
Blah, 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 blah. This global Monday warming. Morning. It's climate change. We've released some land in Anwar to drill some oil. Big deal. Why must I wait until 2019? 2019 before I see the new season of Game of Thrones. Why? Pat?
That's a bad move on their part, too.
Why?
Because you lose that passion for it in the year and a half while you're waiting. If you've seen all the seasons already,
you're not
still going to be as adamant, as passionate about it. I waited
so that I could binge through them right now. I just finished a month and a half ago, something like that, so that I had 2018 with the final season. I'd be all caught up, good to go.
And now you got to wait.
That's a bad choice.
Who else did that? Sopranos did that. The HBO series Westworld seems to be doing that right now.
The Game of Thrones was so good. I mean, it was if they can make the last season worthy,
is season 8 the last?
Yeah, they say that's it.
Is it?
Yeah, that's it. The guys who write it and the big part of it, I think, have already signed new deals for new shows as soon as Game of Thrones is over. I think they signed it with Amazon. I think they were we'll do shows for you as soon as we're done with Game of Thrones. Oh, okay.
So no problem. Throws everybody into a waiting pattern.
Right. Yeah.
If you're looking for a movie to see this weekend, here's what opens. Insidious, The Last Key. Is that a horror movie? Goldbuster, Project Eden, and The Strange Ones. All open.
Boy, they sound like billion-dollar movies right there. Everyone you mentioned sound like it's going to be at least $1 billion worldwide.
Never heard of any of them. Have you seen Star Wars yet?
No.
Last Jedi?
No, I didn't see this. We covered this, and I didn't go this week. I would have said something.
We covered it on Tuesday.
I know what. I'm busy.
Could have seen it.
Busy.
You're busy.
I got other shows to binge. Uh-huh. I don't have time to go to the theater.
Okay. Busy. Jeff Fisher, busy.
I've got things to do.
Everybody knows that's a lie. Everybody knows. All right, we'll see you back Monday, immediately following this show, on Pat Gray Unleashed on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. Also, Glenn's back on this show Monday. Have a great weekend.
Glenn Beck.